Good morning and welcome in the name of Christ. It's good to have you here with us this morning. Today we are continuing to look at this letter of James, a most practical letter that he sends to his people, starting with chapter 3, verse 13 through chapter 4, verse 3. Late one evening, I was sitting on my couch, unable to sleep, flipping through the channels on my TV, when I came across an older movie I remember seeing a number of years ago. The name of the movie was Bruce Almighty. It was a popular movie at the time, and I would bet that many of you saw it. It starred Jim Carrey as Bruce Nolan, a hapless reporter, down on his luck, and Morgan Freeman in the role of God. In it, Carrey's character is complaining about God's job performance as supreme being, and begins to make suggestions as to how God might do better. Taking note of this, God decides to let Bruce take over his job for a week, if he thinks he can do better. And the rest of the movie is all about how Bruce takes on the job as God. Needless to say, it is a bit harder than he expected. It is also hilarious, painful, and sometimes very sobering. So, what would we do if we were God even for a day? Or if you couldn't be the supreme being in the universe, how about if you could have just one superpower? This made me think about how popular superheroes have become lately. Have you ever noticed how popular superheroes have become on television and in the movies? For about the last two decades, superheroes have experienced a resurgence in their popularity. By far, the majority of all the superheroes that are popular today actually came out back in the era called the Golden Age of comic books, from the 1930s and 40s. Superman, Thor, Batman, Captain America, Wonder Woman, the Green Lantern, and many more all come from that creative era. Then in the 1960s, there was another creative period which brought forth such icons as the Incredible Hulk, Superman, Iron Man, and the Fantastic Four. All of these old superheroes created by DC and Marvel Comics have experienced quite the resurgence in their popularity lately. It seems like every time you turn around, there is yet another show or superhero movie coming out. For some reason, as I read through our lesson today from James, I was also thinking about why superheroes have become so popular once again. And this reminded me of an interview that aired on National Public Radio back probably over 10 years ago. So I looked it up. The program was called This American Life, which was hosted at that time by John Hodgman, who conducted a very unscientific survey among a group of his listeners. Interviewing several of them, he posed the question, if you could choose to have one superpower, which one would you choose to have? The power to fly like Superman, or the power to become invisible? He went on to qualify and add limitations to the superpower. It's just one and only one. For instance, if you choose the ability to fly, that does not mean that you also get super strength or are invulnerable and cannot get hurt like Superman. Then Hodgman would ask them, so which would you choose? Flight or invisibility? And when they chose, he would then ask, okay, now what are you going to do with it? How are you going to use it? Do you believe that with this new power also comes a degree of responsibility? The responses he received from most of his participants surprised him. Not only were their plans for how they would use their newfound powers not heroic, but they rarely involved even any kindness. It struck him a bit odd that in all of the interviews he conducted, no one suggested that they would use their new power for good or to accomplish some noble cause. No one said they would fight for justice, work for peace, or work to feed the hungry. In fact, He was very disappointed at just how self-serving most of the responses were. But come now, are any of us really that surprised by this? Isn't this how the world teaches us to think? Isn't this the wisdom of the world? This is where James proves he is a very down-to-earth person. He has no illusions about the basic nature of people. He understands that we are all basically selfish at heart and often bow down to our cravings. What Hodgman discovered was that most of his respondents were all too willing to share their ideas on how they would use their new superpowers to fulfill their own often selfish desires. Here are just a few examples. People who were suddenly given the power of invisibility talked about sneaking into concerts or exclusive clubs. They imagined walking into department stores and taking whatever they wanted. They thought about how great it would be to spy on their enemies or bosses, eavesdrop on conversations, or get free rides on cruise ships or airplanes. People who chose the ability to fly like Superman would often talk about how great it would be for people to see them using their new power. They talked about the fame and the notoriety they would suddenly gain, and how other people would be envious of what they could do. Now, we can quickly see that these kinds of desires, stealing expensive items from stores or becoming famous, are very representative of our more base human desires. They are quite earthly and not very spiritual. Yes, James understands the human condition quite well, and that is why he is calling on his readers to focus their attention on divine wisdom, or what he calls the wisdom from above. In the book of Proverbs, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. In the book of Psalms, it is meditation on the law of God. In James, it is something for which we should ask God for. God who gives generously to all without finding fault, James says. James says that it is also something that comes from above. This is what he calls true wisdom. It is characterized by purity, peacefulness, gentleness, and being willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without a trace of partiality or hypocrisy. James believes that true wisdom yields a harvest of righteousness. It is demonstrated by a life of gentleness, one whom is easy to have a relationship with and gets along easily with others. People who are at peace with God bring peace to everyone around them. James says true wisdom does not produce boastful or conceited attitudes in people. The Apostle Paul said much the same thing when he said that knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. Knowledge without wisdom will make a person self-centered and conceited. We see this often in our culture today, where the acquisition of knowledge has been placed so high above all other things and is thought to be the ultimate goal. In certain rabbinical circles, they have a term for a person like this. They call them asses laden with books. I remember something a former pastor once told me. He said, "A truly wise person has learned to be humble. They do not need to have diplomas covering the wall in their office or be constantly reminding you about the Ivy League school that they graduated from. They focus their efforts on what they can give, not on what they are going to get. They delight in serving, not in being served. They look for ways to honor other people instead of only calling attention to themselves. They see the reason for gaining knowledge or a new skill as a means for self-improvement, which might enable them to help someone else or serve the community in which they live." James states, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. 3, verse 13. In other words, you can talk all you want about being smart, well-educated, and accomplished, but unless your life bears witness by what you do, few people will believe you are those things. Then James talks about false wisdom. He says, false wisdom, or the wisdom of the world, is very different than true wisdom. Worldly wisdom is characterized by bitter envy and selfish ambition. It is earthly, unspiritual, and devilish. For where there is envy and selfish ambition, there will also be disorder and wickedness of every kind. Think about these things. How do we see the effects of this false wisdom in our world today? James says it results in conflicts, disputes, and the desire to satisfy our appetites. What causes fights and quarrels among you, James says? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? Chapter 4, verse 1. Unless our inner focus shifts from the earthly to the spiritual, we will cause problems for the people around us and also for ourselves. Just think about the damage that we already are able to do without superpowers. We kill, we brag, we covet, we quarrel, we create conflict, and we show favoritism. And we are all often good Pharisees and hypocrites. But with the gift of true wisdom that James defines for us, we can learn to live lives of mercy, purity, peacefulness, gentleness, and respect. This is what James says that God wants for us and for us as Christians. And it's not just for one of us. It's a gift to all of us. All of us are expected to pursue this true wisdom for ourselves and then to engage with it and live it out in our everyday lives. But what if we could be God for a day? Haven't you ever questioned why God did something or allowed something to happen that didn't seem to make any sense? Question God's design in the world? There is an ancient fable that comes from India that goes like this. There was once a wise and religious man who was sitting in his garden under a mango tree in the heat of the day. As he sat there, he looked around him and saw the pumpkin vines he had planted growing all around him. And then he glanced at the mango tree he was sitting under, its branches heavy with fruit. He said to himself, "I think God has been a bit foolish. Look how he puts a heavy pumpkin onto a weak vine that can only sit on the ground. And then he hangs these small mangoes in a tree with branches strong enough to hold up the weight of a man. I think that if I were God, I could do better than that." About that time, a breeze came up and shook one of the limbs toward the top of the tree. One of the mangoes broke free from its limb and fell right on the man's head. Clunk! Now the man had a bump on his head, which made him a sadder but much wiser man. Now he said to himself, "Suppose there had been a pumpkin hanging in the tree instead of a mango. Never again will I try to plan the world for God, but I thank God for his wisdom and what he has made so well." But still, wouldn't it be great to have a superpower? Just imagine, what would we do if we were suddenly granted a special skill or ability? But yet, all of us already have skills and abilities that we can use either to merely benefit ourselves or to help someone else. But as we consider this, perhaps the real question we should be asking here is, what are we doing with the skills and abilities that we already have? Are we pursuing the wisdom that comes from above so as to guide us in how we will use those skills? So that we may be salt and light? Amen.